If you're a physician who wants more autonomy in how you practice or fulfillment in your life, you're in the right place. This is the Change Physician Podcast, where our guests reveal how you can learn the mindsets, skills, and strategies to create the life you want without selling out your morals or values. But before we begin, I want to remind you of the free book giveaways, guides, and other physician resources available to you at thechangephysician.com. Welcome back to The Change Physician. I am Melissa Cady, the Challenge Doctor, with my co-host from the West Coast, Dr. Kevin Cacaro, for our weekly, typically weekly Saturday salutations, sometimes Sunday salutations. But if you don't know what The Change Physician is all about, you can go to thechangephysician.com and you can join the community, whether you're a physician or a physician ally. Otherwise, our Saturday salutations are just for Kevin and I to chit-chat about what's happened over the prior week and discuss any events or podcasts that we've been involved with or created. And last week was a lot of big news that radically changed the travel plans, at least imminently, because Kevin is having to help just be a partner for his wife. And obviously a cancer diagnosis is never anything one of us wants to hear. So just wanted the listeners to know how she's doing.
Yeah, no, she's doing well. I'm trying to post like I normally do. And of course,
not easy.
You know, I'm like locked into this thing and won't even give me the option to post what I want to post. So Facebook, you just kill me. Like literally, you kill me.
Well, don't stress over it. It's not... You know.
Yeah, it's definitely not important. So you know what? I'm not going to stress about it. In fact, screw it. I'm just not
say screw it.
This is all for friends and family anyway. So
yeah.
It's always interesting because I'm sure there's a word for it somewhere. There's a word of like intellectually knowing something, and then there's the actual experience of doing it, right? And that goes with almost anything. You can explain it, you can know it, but until you experience it, there's a level there that you don't really appreciate so much.
Or understand truly, I think.
Well, I don't think you can understand truly without experiencing. What is that called? It's like this philosophical thing called Mary's Room or something like that, where you can describe red, like the color.
Yeah.
And you can make up, you know, it's this wavelength, it's this, it's that, whatever. But until you actually see red and you experience red, you don't know what red is. And so there's this argument about being able to intellectualize something, but you'll never fully understand it until you experience it.
Yeah.
And I think about that quite a bit. And it's definitely kind of the same thing when it comes to a diagnosis. So we as physicians know a whole lot of things. And we feel like we know a lot of things, but we don't necessarily understand it. And so when you get on the other side of the curtain, so to speak, it gives you a great appreciation for many different things and certainly increases your ability to of compassion, empathy. And then for me, it's a lot of frustration because we have the advantage of being a two physician household, being understanding really well kind of the processes that we're going through, and knowing when to push and when not, and when things are acceptable and when are not. And I don't know, I feel for the people who don't have that level of knowledge. That all being said, you get a diagnosis and of all of it, you know, your brain goes all over the place. I was researching everything, and that was, you know, even as a physician, there's things that you misunderstand. So I misunderstood some of the initial pathology and I thought it was worse than it was. And then as things kind of come through and then you read more, you're like, oh, okay, this sucks, but it doesn't nearly suck as bad as it could potentially suck. And certainly not as suck as bad as I originally thought it might suck. But then you get some frustrations with when you're trying to get an insurance to approve a chemotherapy regimen that is standard of care, then it has been the basics of it has been around for 50 years. And then the addition to it, which really transformed the game with it, is almost 30 years old. And And you get these idiots that can't distinguish between we had, you know, we have one visit with a lymphoma specialist center. So that was a second opinion that we needed authorization for, as well as the authorization for chemo that came through our treating oncologist locally. And these ding dongs who don't, who just look at this computer and can't figure out the difference between the two. So we literally had to call five times over three different days. And they would say, well, this, we're waiting for this. And I'm like, that's not even the person who ordered the chemo. That is the second opinion specialist who we know is on vacation because he totally is on vacation. So you're waiting for him to send you information that he's not going to send. And he doesn't need to do it because he's not ordering the chemo. And yeah, so anyway, that was a little frustrating and that kind of adds a delay. But luckily, you know, we were expecting to have treatment initiated on the 5th and we didn't do it till the 13th. So, again, it was in the swing of things is not a huge big deal because my wife has what's called fully resected disease because when she had her thyroid removed, that came up with a lymphoma, but everything else has been negative and that's really good.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just I'm like, obviously you want to get started when you get started, because the sooner you start, then the sooner you're through. But it's been very interesting. It's been definitely an interesting kind of thing. Now, one of the questions that people ask me all the time is like, you know, oh, is it worse being a physician? You know, and they're like, oh, because you know more. And I don't know, maybe for other people, but for me, it's like a freaking godsend. I would never, ever, 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 ever want to navigate something like this without knowing what I know. Because knowledge to me is a sense of control. Being able to, you know, the first thing, if I hear something, I look it up and I start digging and researching. And I know what that means. You know, again, you can have some things like, oh, the difference between a fish and in gross pathology and the initial stains. Okay. You know, that's the kind of like a subspecialty kind of little stuff that you need to know, but I can figure it out pretty quick. And, I like knowing. You know, and I stepping into something like this blindly and then having to trust, like, I guess I have trust issues, like significant trust issues. Like people tell me stuff and I'm like, great. Now I'm going to go verify what you said. Doesn't really matter who you are.
Yeah.
And I can do that. Right. So it's yeah. Anyway. And then if anybody's wondering, my wife started her first course of chemo. So. Chemo setup, there's in these cycles, and the cycles are X number of weeks. And then typically, you know, this is an infusion, and infusion is kind of an all-day deal. And they just basically hammer you, and then you step back and you wait, and then wait 3 weeks and do it again. So you obviously don't know until you've experienced it how that's going to go. And I'm pleased to say that she's doing really, really well. The side effects, speaking as a person who doesn't have the side effects, seem very well managed. She still remains active. She's, you know, doing walks and keeping herself moving. And so this seems to be as best as can be expected in this sort of situation that you're going on. So, yeah.
I'm glad to hear that. You made me think of just the dilemma of like knowing a lot. Like that's part of making informed decisions, is you have that upper hand advantage, so to speak, when you make decisions. I mean, of all the things we've talked about in the past, Kevin, whether it's pain and all these things done to people that they don't really need, you know, we have an advantage when we deal with pain too. Like we kind of come from a different perspective, and even more so than typical physicians. You know, I actually just experienced that around people that freaked out about, you know, herniated disc with no functional deficits. Yeah. And I kind of put them all in their place in a nice way. And I'm like, I kind of felt badly, but I'm like, you're not helping people by, you know, that kind of
freaking
stuff. So
out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of similarities. I mean, because really pain science, if you're actually a pain specialist, is really the science of experience. I mean, because pain is an experience. It's not a, you know, like you said, it's not a herniated disc or whatever. And an analogy I used to use a lot was, if you understand like pain and danger and how threat amplifies it, you know, I used to talk about like you hear growling in a, like some dark room, And your brain, depending on how anxiety prone it is going to make it into like a cave bear kind of situation. And the first thing that you want to necessarily do is not dream of all the way the cave bear is going to eat you, is to actually shine a light on it and actually see it's a cave bear or not. Because it might be a chihuahua with a really deep voice. But the other thing is, it might be an actual cave bear, but at least you know. At this point, you know what it is. And so your brain isn't filling on all these scary details. And it's the same, you know, that it comes with I mean, stress and any sort of medical thing is generally the more you know, and if you can, and you have to understand it though. I mean that's the kind of the conundrum I'm in, is because I try to process for understanding, I try to put things into place. And if you have maybe an anxiety prone person who didn't sees and amplifies and amplifies and amplifies, I can see where that's bad, right? Where you're Googling and they start Googling just bad, 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 bad. But the more you know and the more you understand and the more you can actually define that this is what it is versus this is some nebulous thing. The fear of the unknown to me is always worse than the fear of the known. Like, it just is. And if you can take away as much unknown as you possibly can, it tends to help. And so even with this, it's like, I'm always like thinking, oh my God, I know, I'm so glad I know what I know about pain, because it really helps just with what you're experiencing. But
absolutely. You made me start laughing inside because you said about the sound. And Corey and I were in Australia at an Airbnb and we heard this. It sounded like a jaguar. It was not. It was just a little brushy tail possum, but that thing sounded like a jaguar. It was two or three in the morning. We were frightened out of our mind because we were putting this, you know, I'm like, why would there be a jaguar in Australia? Like, you know, but we couldn't like visualize what really this thing was in the, you know, in the dark, on the roof, by the way.
Then you sign a light and there's this little thing looking at you and you're just like, oh, God,
I was like, you want to look? No, you want to look? So it was so frightening. And then our friend from there was like laughing at us because she's like, oh, that's just a brushy tail possum. So anyway, one other thing, last thought, when you brought up the whole thing about knowing what you know, I spoke with a retired someone I'm going to take care of who's a medical professional and told me some experiences as a patient with a surgery and some complications and all the stuff and just all the dilemmas they dealt with, and just realize, man, I thought I was just going for this, but then I had to do this and this and, you know, all these things. And it became embedded in their like understanding, like what it's like to be on the other side, and even their expectations of the outcomes from that procedure, they did not realize that things weren't going to be working as well. I'm being very vague for a reason, but that was kind of an awareness. And the same person mentioned, you know, I've been in this field for decades and now I feel like you have to be really careful and know what the incentive or motivation is of that business or professional. Like, is it in your best interest or is it in their best interest? And it was that, unfortunately, that is some reality there, that as a medical professional, if you admit that and understand that, then you can make better decisions. So,
being aware of your biases, right? And we've talked about that quite a bit, is the people who make me the most scared and nervous are the people who say they have no biases, because A, that's not true. And B, it tells me that you are not even aware of them. And if you're not aware of them, they're going to influence you all over. And then I can't trust your judgment. So,
yeah. Yeah. Their bias is blinding them, or they don't recognize they have it.
Totally. And that's the other thing. Yeah. Kind of like, look at this stuff is, there's overtreatment, undertreatment. And everybody is always talking about undertreatment, but really the problem, particularly in this country, is overtreatment.
Yes.
So, you know, so let's just talk the cancer example. There's what's the kind of the tried and true, and we have the evidence to support it. And then there's all these emergent therapies, right? And there's a quote. It's like, more is not better. More is just more, and sometimes more is worse.
Mm-hmm.
And that is definitely true when it comes to healthcare. And so that was one of the reasons I was looking at this stuff. I wanted to make sure that the regimen that we had was, you know, not only standard of care, was recommended by the guidelines. When you have some weird kind of things on your pathology, like my wife did, that kind of put some equivocality into it, you want to make sure that you're coming from this from a decision, not of fear, but of understanding, such that you don't get pushed into a more aggressive regimen that is more aggressive than you need. And I think that people in this country have been sold the stuff that just because it's new, it's better. And what comes up over and over and over and over again is, a lot of the times, new is not only better, or not better, it's worse than it was before. Or I love that, it's not inferior to crap, right? I mean, there's so many therapies that, oh, this is not inferior to this particular therapy. Well, you look at that therapy and the therapy was crap. So basically you're saying this is crap, and this is the same crap or no better than that crap, but we're going to do it to you. It just cracks me up. Anyway,
it's mind blowing.
It is absolutely mind blowing. And then, you know, I think there's people who kind of think that they're approaching from a sense of, I'm really advocating for my patients, but they're really not necessarily advocating for your patients when you're advocating for something that pays more or gives you more, when it's really the data doesn't demonstrate anything better. That's something we talk about quite a bit. So,
oh yeah. You talked about new and better. I'm going to totally take a 180 turn or 90 degree turn here. I have to share something that is new in our household, and it's actually from Oregon.
Is it better?
It's better than the things we've had before. So I'm going to have to put in a link somewhere on our, I'll put it on after this live. But there's these, it's called Raw Rewards Treats for dogs and cats. So for you that have dogs and cats, they're freeze dried, and they have, in fact, I'm just going to send it over to Kevin so he can look at it while I'm talking. Let's see here. It's called Natural. It's a family owned business. So I'm like, it's in our local pet store, but I bought directly from them, and they've got, it's a Northwest Naturals. They have freeze-dried lamb liver, chicken liver, bison liver. Raw Rewards. Yeah, Northwest Naturals is the name of the company. I need to pull up their actual website. Hold on. But I'm not kidding. I've never had our cat eat straight from our hand for a treat. And these little chicken things, you'd think they were like, I don't know, godsend. Let's see here. Maybe they just, yeah, Northwest Naturals. There it is. Here, I'm going to send that to you. There. That was the other place that I ordered from. That's the first one I sent you. But anyway, they're Portland, Oregon, and they have like freeze-dried cheese, which apparently they're lactose-free if they're freeze-dried. And dogs tend to really love cheese, or a lot of them do. But yeah, lamb liver, chicken hearts, minnows, green mussels, sweet potato, pork heart, port liver, salmon, shrimp, whitefish. I mean, you name it, cheddar cheese. And I tell you, this stuff never goes to waste. And you can don't have to worry about refrigerating it or anything. So big fan, except for the green mussels. They don't like the green mussels, so we're not going to do those anymore. But there you go.
I like green mussels. Green mussels are yummy.
Well, I'll send you the ones we didn't use. Anyway, so I'm just, Raw Rewards Treats is, they have a really big one for the chicken breast, which is just like a huge hit for both of our pets. And it's a little bit more, like a little bit better price to get the three times bigger size. But anyway, can't go wrong. There you go. I just shared a must for anyone who owns a cat and dog, and healthy treats don't have a lot of junk in it. our dog has a sensitive gut, so that's why I have to be more careful. There you go. Nothing you really care about, Kevin, unless you want to eat some dehydrated chicken or green mussel treats.
No, but I mean, it makes me think of like people feeding their dogs and cats these special treats. My grandfather used to, he had dogs growing up, always had dogs, and did a lot of hunting, and mm-hmm. He would make his dogs, it was like this special stew. So literally almost every day he would go out, and they had some property, and they had this kind of pump house thing where the dog thing was. And he had a propane stove out there, and he would like boil like chicken and vegetables, all this stuff together, and always soup, And then he would pour it over the drive food for the dog. I mean, his later dogs started getting pretty big, but it always smelled so good. I'm like, oh my God, that smells so good. I never ate it, but it definitely did smell good. So, yeah.
Well, I just figured it's nw-naturals.net for anyone looking, but pretty cool, and it's a small family business that I thought was cool.
That is always good.
Yeah, supporting them. There you go. Anything else you'd like to add or share that's coming up or
God, I'm trying to, I don't, I mean, this has literally been,
a whirlwind?
well, I mean, and that's, I think we're going to finally hit the rhythm here, but it focuses everything onto this. So, like, the only other thing that I've really done, other than kind of plan or see or whatever, is taxes and taxes. That's what I was trying to finish today before we got on, and
So fun.
they annoy me. And I, the worst thing, I guess, is like, you're like, okay, I have two kids in college now, and you do all this stuff, and we use TurboTax now because our taxes aren't super crazy. We've got, you know, it's not, there's two of us, and then I have a side business and blah, blah. It's not that hard. And I probably don't even need them, except I do it because they walk you through it. And, but they have you enter all this stuff, and then it's always like, oh, the standard deduction is better for you. It's like,
Why go through all the trouble?
why do I go through this? And then the other thing is super annoying. I mean, the two college thing is just annoying because you start putting all this stuff in and you're paying all this money for college, and they're like, oh, you don't qualify for any education deductions. I'm like, thanks. That's like,
Wasting my
thanks.
time.
Yeah. And again, it's like, okay, we already put all the stuff in, and they should actually put a little, you know, unless you have, and I don't even know what it would be, because you know, I all that my impression of the education credits is they rapidly disappear very quickly when you're over whatever X amount of income is. I have no idea how people are paying. We go to a state school. I can't imagine people paying for private schools. Like, what the hell do you do? So anyway, it's annoying. It's super annoying. Yeah.
It's very tedious. Between a nonprofit, two LLCs, and personal, and non and doing my own 401k, like it's a little complicated, but
And
worth
then
it.
how could you narrow down that complicate complete com complexity complexity and make it, because then, you know, there's some things that would just make things way too complex. This year I've actually, I'm streamlining a bunch of stuff and getting rid of a bunch of stuff I had hanging around that I'm like, I don't even know why I'm paying for this and even like wondering about it. Let's just streamline it down. And yeah.
It's definitely worth the little housekeeping on your financial side. Those
Oh yeah.
things can add up over time.
Yeah.
But everyone knock out your taxes, and there's nothing wrong with doing an extension. This is not a tax advice, but sometimes you are not apparently they are more favorable to people put do extensions, I guess, because they think that you're doing your due diligence. I don't know. But I had to take care of that this past week too. So
Just and do an extension?
not extension, but just take care of tax stuff. I didn't.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But on occasion, one of them, we might do an extension. Just depends when how the accountant and their staff are doing, getting
Well, yeah, and
everything.
I think that's the big thing, is just where you, when you get your forms, right? So, if you have a bunch of extra tax forms, like whatever those K-1s and all that other stuff, that all, and then you have to wait for them to get it done before you can actually file anything. Thank God we don't have any of that. Our taxes are boring and simple, pretty much.
It's nothing wrong with that.
No.
An investment, and it's really any kind of like 401k, like anything you do investment wise there, it's not, you don't have to worry about reporting like you do for current stuff. You just have like this form once a year to let them know what's in there. Which makes sense.
Yeah, it's good.
Cool. I guess our plans will be to meet up possibly next Saturday if our schedules allow.
Well, I
For the
will be
next.
here. I don't, again, I don't anticipate doing much for the
We're
next
scheduled
several
for
months.
that. Okie dokie.
And then, For anybody who's out Marriott, though, let me just tell you that right now is their double promotion. So if you're a Marriott person, this is the time to make lots of stays because you get two nights. You get an extra night for every night. So,
you know, we should have Marriott sponsor our podcast.
I would just be happy if they didn't have to fight for everything. Like,
Well, maybe you get a few perks. Maybe every time you do an episode with talk about Marriott, you get an extra, you know, 1,000 or 10,000 points.
I would literally be satisfied if we could walk into a hotel and I wouldn't have to say anything and they would just have actually proactively upgraded and did everything that they're supposed to do. That's one thing about reward programs. If anybody's doing a reward program, this is the thing is you should actually know about it. And then you should actually know what the terms and conditions are such that you are getting what you're supposed to get. Because I'm frankly shocked a lot of the times at how variable and how often they don't. And the one good thing about it is it makes you ask. Like, if you don't ask, you don't get.
Right.
And I think there's some hotels that bank on that, that if you don't ask, they're not going to give, even though you are supposed to. You actually are entitled. I'm in these Marriott forums. People are like, oh, you're so entitled. And it's like, it's an entitlement program. Yeah, you're entitled. I'm like, do you know what that word means? And do you know what entitlement program actually means? You are entitled to these things. So saying somebody's is acting very entitled is exactly the point, because they are actually entitled to these things that are in the terms and condition. But anyway, otherwise it's good. It's a fun little thing to do on the side for sure. So
nice.
Yeah.
All right. You Marriott people.
You Marriott people, or your Hyatt people, or Hilton people, or whatever you guys do.
We'll take
and,
us out.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I was trying to think. I have nothing else to really tell anybody other than you get your taxes down, stay healthy, keep in contact with your friends. That's another big. Oh yeah, we have we got another friend who's not doing too well. So, hug your friends, hug your family. Make sure you tell them that you love them, even when you think that they don't really need to know. Just send them random texts. It's always nice, and. So specific to this, we've been pretty low key. We've been just mostly talking. As always, though, if you're interested in kind of being with the community, you can join at thechangephysician.com, where you can sign up whether you're a physician or a physician ally. And until next time, stay well.
Take care. Thank you for joining us today on the Change Physician Podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, please let us know by going to thechangephysician.com. And while you're there, be sure to check out the free book giveaways, guides, and other physician resources available to you simply by joining the community at thechangephysician.com.